Last week was Epiphany, and also often our Christmas story focuses on Bethlehem and the Nativity, and then on Epiphany we jump over the rest of the story and go right to the wise men. And in doing so, we skip over some of the other surrounding stories about Jesus following his birth. So today we're going to stop and look at the first 8 days after the birth of Christ. Let's stop and think about two new parents, Mary and Joseph. For them, the joy of Christmas, the joy of the birth is over. The angels have sung and gone. The shepherds have come and gone. Now remember, Mary and Joseph are not in their own home. And they got to figure out, what do we do from here? They have a newborn. And not just any baby. This is the Messiah, the Savior, the Emmanuel. So now what? There is no record in scriptures that Mary and Joseph were given any to-do list or instructions on how to raise the Savior of the world. Neither of them were royalty, so they didn't know how to raise or train a king. Neither of them were a priest or a scholar given special scriptural knowledge. It's not like they could go down to the bookstore and get a book called How to Raise the Son of God in 10 Easy Steps. I'm sure Mary would have liked to have the Amazon Echo or the Google Home device, right? Hey, Google, hey, Alexa, do I put Pampers or Huggies on the Savior? But sitting here today, we have a lot of mothers and fathers and grandparents. And I think most of us dream about our kids or our grandkids, just like we had in our praises, that they have a successful life or do something great. But never in history did a set of parents have angels appear and tell them that their son was going to be our Lord and Savior. Now, I've met some obnoxious parents who probably thought their son was almost that level. But if you're Mary and Joseph, now what? What do you do? Think about it. I mean, if you were supposed to be raising the Messiah, do you just sit back and assume that God will guide everything? And what if time goes by, you start thinking, gosh, have we done enough? Or do you end up being those parents who try to do too much and end up messing things up? As a kid, I hated those parents who did everything for the other kids. You know, the kid who brought in the great big group project, the big project that their parents built for them. I hated those kids. But guess what kind of dad I ended up being? Oh, you got a project. Oh, let's get out the saws and the tools and build something big. But what do you do as a parent if your child is the Son of God? Now imagine if you were told by an angel before your child or grandchild was born that they were going to be the scientist that cures cancer. Or maybe that your child was going to be the first astronaut to Mars. Would you raise them differently? Would it change what you did? If an angel of God told me that one of my boys was going to cure cancer, would have I filled the nursery with microscopes and biology texts instead of teddy bears and storybooks? How would I react if later my child dropped out of school? What if they wanted to go and major in art and not in science? Wouldn't that be tough? Wait a minute, you're supposed to cure cancer, not paint paintings. What's wrong with you? And Joseph and Mary, they were raising the Messiah, the Christ child. What should they do? Well, they did exactly what they should have done. They simply remained faithful to the scriptures, and they took Jesus to the temple. As we heard earlier from Luke chapter 2, When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. So Mary and Joseph, two young poor people, get a pair of doves and do what they're supposed to do. They go to the temple and they follow God's word. God's word that said all firstborn males were supposed to be dedicated to the Lord. And that's exactly what they did. They followed God's word. Nothing more, nothing less. Could you imagine if more parents and grandparents lived and acted according to God's word? It seems today that new parents are more worried about gender reveal parties, registering for the baby showers, than they are worried about how they can live as godly examples. Parents today haven't made in so many ways. They have more information than ever before for things like prenatal care. They have so many ways to monitor and understand the health of their baby prior to the birth. Most hospitals have state-of-the-art NICUs ready to handle emergencies. And the postnatal care and education is incredible. Parents are taught the pros and cons of breastfeeding versus formula. Parents are educated about immunizations, about car seats, about cribs, about cloth diapers versus disposable diapers. They learn about nutrition for the mom and the baby. They learn not to sleep with the baby in the bed. They learn how to use sleep sacks instead of blankets. And if there wasn't anything covered by their OBGYN, parents today have the entire internet at their disposal. And young parents have their own parents to turn to, along with aunts and uncles and grandparents and other friends. Many young parents find themselves on that first real sleepless night. Do you remember that first night when the baby wouldn't stop crying no matter what you did and you didn't know what to do? So you pick up the phone and you say, "Mom, what do I do? Do I go to the hospital? What, you know, you're just so worried." But with all of that information of the do's and what not to do as a parent, how many people consider God? How many people consider the Bible? How many couples do their family planning based on God's will and God's calling? How many people are concerned about the spiritual health of the parents? And how many people are concerned about the spiritual health of the child? How many people include prayer as an essential part of the prenatal and postnatal care? But you know, this doesn't just apply to parents and babies. This applies to every area of our lives. Everything we do, everything we say, everything we choose should be based on God's word. And because Joseph and Mary were obedient to the word of God, we see many people were blessed. The first was Simeon. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him that by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what was the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people." Verse 33 says, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too." So because of their obedience to the scripture, Mary and Joseph receive a blessing. Mary and Joseph receive more assurance that God was saying they were on the right path. And the good thing is, it doesn't stop there. The scriptures go on to tell us that there was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. The obedience of Mary and Joseph to the scripture, it blessed them. They were blessed because they did what God wanted them to do. Simply obedient to the scripture. But their obedience blessed Simeon. Their obedience blessed Anna. And you see that last line of the scripture? Anna spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Through the obedience of Mary and Joseph, many others were blessed. And as we continue with the scripture in Luke 2, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. See, by being obedient to God's word, the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Following the word of God is the best blueprint for our families. Following the word of God is the best blueprint for all of us as a church. When the disciples were left without Jesus, when the church was in its infancy, when there were no denominations or theological books to follow, what did they do? Acts chapter 2 says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Verse 46, it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You want to know how to grow a church? Follow God's word. Follow God's word. As Christmas has passed, 2022 has ended, and we as a church are heading well into 2023, we can ask ourselves, so now what? Where does our church go from here? I mean, in our own denomination, there's a lot of problems. There are churches disaffiliating. There are churches crumbling in our midst. I can tell you right now, there's one church just north of us, which is a big, vibrant, healthy church, is now crumbling, literally crumbling. How do we protect ourselves from falling apart? How do we protect ourselves from disunity? How do we make the church stay on the right path of growth and spiritual health? We need to do the same thing. We need to devote ourselves to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Because I can tell you it works. Ask anybody who was in our Sunday school class today. They can tell you by testimony it works. Mary and Joseph didn't have all the answers. But at each step of the Christmas story, they turned to the scriptures. They were obedient and trusting in God. And each step of the way, God provided for them. It wasn't always easy. It wasn't always fun. They moved, they traveled, and we'll see that they were forced to live in foreign lands. And they were asked to raise Jesus in the backwater, know-nothing place called Nazareth. And despite all of this, God provided. See, we as God's people need to continue to turn to the Scriptures. We need to be obedient and trust in God. Now, we may still have some difficulties along the way. But I promise you that if in the end, if we are faithful, God will continue to add to our numbers, not just people, but those who are being saved. Those who are being transformed by the Word of God. Those who are being led to salvation. May God lead us in all that we do. May His Word lead us in all that we do. May we be faithful to Him in both word and deed. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we live in a world that is trying to tell us what to teach. We live in a world that are telling us to accept things that are out of the bounds of Your Scripture. But Lord, we know You are faithful to those who are faithful to You. We know You bless those who live according to Your will. And Lord, we're not asking to become mighty or powerful. We're just asking to simply allow us to be an obedient church. And for You to continue to bless us in so many ways. Lord, we thank You for the gifts and the blessings that You have bestowed upon us in the previous years. And Lord, we look forward to what You have for us in the coming year. But we know it requires us to be obedient to Your Word, to be faithful to You in our lives, to allow Your Word to not just be something that sits on the shelf, but something that dwells in our hearts, something that leads us and guides us each and every day. May Your Word always be a lamp unto our feet. This we pray in the name of Your Son. Amen. One of the mistakes we've done as a people of God is we've tried to make things way too complicated. Because trust me, if you read our book of discipline, it is a great way to cure insomnia. Because I've read it. It's not easy. But when it comes down to it, if we want to be a healthy church, if you want to have a healthy family life, I mean, after all, if being obedient to the Scriptures was enough to be the parents of Jesus Christ, how much more is it better for us to just simply be obedient to God's Word? To say, yes, Lord, I will follow Your will. Yes, Lord, I will follow Your rules. Yes, Lord, I will listen to the teachings of Jesus, to the teachings of the apostles. I will go and proclaim Your name and proclaim Your Word, and I will stand in the face of this world saying, no, thank you. I will follow God. If we continue on the path that we're going, we are going to do great things for God. You've heard me say it since I've been here, but I really, truly believe it. God has great things planned for this congregation, and this is our year. I have a list of goals that I have given to the Board of Servant Leaders, and I will get those goals out to you, and some of them are some pretty lofty goals. But I'm a firm believer that nothing is impossible with a gracious and loving God. Nothing is impossible for those obedient servants who live and lead their lives by His Word. And if we go forth from here in that vein and we are faithful and obedient to God, He will provide everything that we need. And as I shared with the Sunday school class, and I've shared this testimony before, God's not making me rich. This is not a lucrative field. But you know what God has done for me every step of the way of my obedience? He says, you go and I will provide. And He's given me everything I've needed, not a penny more, not a penny less, but He's given me everything I've needed to be where I've needed and to do what I've needed to do. And He will do the same for you if you were obedient. Let us leave here as obedient children of God, obedient to His will, obedient to His word, and obedient to His ways. Let us leave here in full knowledge of the love of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Let us leave here as His people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.